Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is AFL Round 18, all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Brenton, you got a highlight of the week past?
I do, and just to change it up, mine is actually football-related. So, we don't really talk much about this whole state of the game bullshit because, I mean,
I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, the real problem is state of the media. Let's talk about it for 30 seconds for my it's called? Yeah. Discovered my favourite AFL media journalist.
I'm going to have a guess.
Yep.
Nerilee Meadows.
What a winner. What a winner.
She's a champ.
Great on it.
Calling out Mark Stevens, who's a fucking trash journalist.
Yep.
About him pretty much inventing the story of people being pissed off about Bernie Vince smiling after a game of football. So Mark Stevens is...
I will give credit. She wasn't the only one to call him out, but she was the first and the loudest.
Yeah, and did not let up either.
Yep.
Just kept on going.
Excellent job.
She saw a pie getting bowled down the pitch and she just put it over the fence and then just laughed at him on the way.
Yeah, but it's so refreshing because obviously the internet is full of, I mean, this is ironic, dickhead opinions coming from us. But,
but we've never shied away from that assessment.
Yeah, we've never disputed the fact that we're complete dickheads who don't know what we're talking about.
So to have someone come through with actual, common sense and to be able to say what everyone's thinking and have everyone jump on board, I thought it was fantastic.
Yep.
So Mark Stevens has gone on about how there was outrage online from, lots of sources about Bernie Vince, smiling and having a chat to Paddy Dangerfield.
I think as soon as you mention the word outrage, you're shit.
Yeah, yeah. And narrowly he's just gone, who actually criticised him? To which Mark couldn't actually answer the question at all. He was just going on about, oh, Demons are pretty keen to get on the front foot on this one. Listen to my show.
No. But you know what's annoying? The answer was right there. All he had to say is me.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, that's fine. I mean, you're a reporter. We don't want your opinion. But that was a simple answer that he didn't want to put behind because he didn't want to put his own name next to it.
Exactly. And the point was it's so true because now you've got, I mean, I don't have Fox, so I don't get to watch a whole lot of Fox shows. And I'm usually glad, but I might just actually try and get onto Nerilee's, she's on Fox. What program is she on?
Fox Sports, yeah.
Fox Sports, yeah.
Pretty sure. What is it? Game Day or something? No.
I think she's on quite a few.
Yeah.
She's on more than one.
Well, that's enough for me to actually care about Fox, but I'm still not sure about giving Fox money ever.
I'm sure you can find a way.
Well, I mean, I find a way to watch it without giving the money all the time. Shout out to Buffstream. also, Sam McClure is showing he's another trash journalist.
Oh, God damn.
Yeah. Kobe Stevens obviously retired, was it yesterday, today?
Through extensive concussions.
Yeah. Obviously, he wanted to be the first to tell his teammates. Yep. Not good enough for Sam. He's put it out on Twitter. Yeah, he's about to address his teammates. This is what he's going to say. What a fucking cock.
What an absolute cunt.
What a cock.
Yep.
I think there should be... This is the show that I would watch, and it wouldn't be because of the any sort of gender equality issues, but if you had Darcy Pearce... Nerilee Meadows on a show and have any other person on there, that'd be a show that I actually watch for its actual true subjective or objective opinions about the state of the game and actually researching it, not just because you've played the game that means you know shit.
I agree wholeheartedly. And what else was positive was the support I saw for Nerilee Meadows was close enough to 100% from the Nufties.
Yeah.
Everyone said, yeah, good, Good on you.
Yeah, so I hope we can start punishing shit journalism by not falling for the clickbait, not even reading it, not watching it.
Well, and let's face it, that's why I started this podcast, because I wasn't happy with the journalism out there. And I thought, you can't be pissing on from the outside.
This is true.
You might as well add to it.
You've got to get in that. Got to get in there.
And I think any time there's an unattributed quote, like, people were outraged. People? Sources say that so-and-so has been offered $1,100 million per year. What people? Like, if it's the agent, that's fair enough. Because if you're an agent of a player, fuck yeah, it's your job.
Yeah.
And there's been examples even this year about where other journos have said, yeah, we knew about that, but we held off because you want... Like, with all the coaches doing the slide. Apparently, all the journos knew, but they're like, well, Neil's going to announce this on Friday Night Footy. We're not... Yeah. I'm not going to be the arsehole to do it.
You would have to be a special breed of cunt.
Well, Sam McClure has decided, I'm not that big of a cunt, but I am this big.
Yeah, and it means you'd see... I mean, they don't generally pull back their cuntiness, so next year he's probably going to up his game more.
Yep.
So, yeah, fuck those guys.
But let's be honest, Kobe Stephens retiring isn't blockbuster news. It's one of those ones you're like, oh. It's not a, fuck, I'm going to buy the paper. Yeah, it's just
but for him it is.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Exactly. Like, for Sam McClure's rep. So he's decided to be the cunt. And the upside is that he's the first to report on something that everyone not at St Kilda is probably, you know, mildly interested in.
Yeah,
but, probably already aware of, too.
He could have walked by half the people in the country last week and they wouldn't have known who he was.
Anyway. All right, Josh, you got a highlight of the week?
Yeah, well, normally I go to motorsport, but I'm not going this week. I know beer of the week is Brent's thing, but... I've gotten quite partial to a few of the craft beers. Most of them Brent's introduced me to. So it was with some excitement that one of my favourites got back in my local craft beer place, the Squid Rising. Weird name.
It is weird.
It's a fucking weird name. But I think you hooked me up with it at one stage. I'm like, it's a fucking good drink.
That was a freebie that Mornington dropped off. It was one of the head brewers there used to work at the place that I'm at. Also on that note, I've know that there's a new brewery called Brick Lane Brewing, and they're a big conglomerate. They've got lots of personality investors. Like, I know Eddie McGuire's in there, Billy Slater.
Right, yeah.
I think George Columbaris and like everyone, lots of...
So big profits, no one's getting paid.
Shane Delia. Well, they're going for that mass market, not interesting stuff, just, you know, trying to take on, let's say, Stone and Wood and that sort of ilk. And I'm pretty sure they just got the exclusive rights to the Melbourne Storm Stadium. To sell their beer.
Amy.
I think it's called Amy, yeah.
Yeah, Amy, yeah. To sell in there. So it wouldn't be surprising if they were trying to push into places like Eddie had, which is going to be now called Marvel.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing since it's not going to be owned by Arab Emirates?
It was never owned by
a major sponsor.
The AFL owns it.
Yeah, a major sponsor of them. Maybe they're more open to having a major beer company pushing or being advertised through there. So that's one thing I thought might be interesting to see play out.
Play out, yeah.
Yeah, well, for mine, it was just a beer I don't normally get, and it's been out for ages, and then they got it back in stock, so I was like, fucking great. So took that home, I think on the Saturday, watching the footy, and by halftime I was pissed off, so I thought, fuck it, I'll keep drinking them, and I was about five or six cans deep, and
hammered.
Didn't see the end of the game, which is fortunate.
You weren't the only one by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
My highlight of the week was very quickly also on the football. I love that Geelong won with a kick after the siren and still went down on the ladder. That's lovely. At the expense of Hawthorn. I don't think we're playing finals, but that's a nice little, that's all right.
The rivalry's still there.
It is. All right, we'll get on to the footy then. Friday night, Richmond just far too good for St Kilda. I thought that Dusty started off a little bit out of touch again, and he's been half a step behind the last couple of weeks. And then it looked like he went, I'm sick of this. It just went, this is how good I am.
Yeah.
And I mean, really turned it on.
That's been his season so far. And I don't think it's down to, I mean, it doesn't look like he's carrying injuries. It doesn't look like he's overweight.
I think it's just the expectations he set last year.
Yeah. And I think the rest of the team has picked up around him. So
absolutely.
He doesn't need to really go balls to the wall. Interesting to see coming to finals if he can step it up. That's what I'm expecting. So I think it's
back to
his little slack off period now. Snag is getting the... Not rising star nod.
Yep.
Probably just because, you know.
Accumulation.
Yeah, it's about just his turn.
Rightly so.
Yeah, yeah. I think just not hard done by on other rounds where he had better games, but there were just other players that happened to step up and were more impressive in a less impressive side.
Mm. We talk about the state of the media and everything. I know the media and broadcaster's job is to build the game up, but before this game, they were pumping up St Kilda saying, oh, they can take it right up to them. Like, mate, come on.
Well, it was also
we're not idiots.
It was also Matty's match. And, yep. You know, at the end of the day, I mean, St Kilda put they had a 90-point lead against Richmond last year.
I think so, yeah.
And I know that because I brought it up quite a few times.
Yep.
But Richmond was just far too good, far too often.
It was never, ever going to happen this year. And also, you look at the matchups, I don't think St Kilda win one.
Yeah, not many.
I think they managed to win the last quarter or the last half or something like that, but that's when the queue was in the rack.
A little bit. I am.
That's a cuddle after you've already come.
Yeah.
I am of the opinion that when it comes to the goal of the year, skill versus fluke does not matter.
No.
It's the end result.
It's spectacle.
Fuck me, that's not bad.
That's goal of the year.
Jack Stephen, that'll do me.
Yeah, I'll give him the money now, give him the trophy of the car, or the fuck you win.
Oh, I think you win a Weet-Bix or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the double volleyball before it,
yeah,
and then to just sock it out, you just go, oh, nah, that's good enough. I do like that on the commentary, Bruce, they go, oh, can a fluke be goal of the year, Bruce McAvaney, without even flinching? Yep.
Yep.
That's it right there. There's three potential goal of the years this weekend. It was brilliant.
Yeah.
All at Etihad Stadium.
There's been some spectacular ones this year, though. Like, yeah. Was it Fantasia a couple weeks back?
No, Devin Smith.
Smith, that's it.
Yeah, the little dribbler.
That bullshit dribbler, and yeah. Then... Corey McKernan, Sean McKernan, had one a few weeks back. It's been a brilliant year for those goals.
It has. The fluky goals. I'm all for it. You know, it's a great highlight. It's something that the Saints can take away from that game because, let's face it, you know, they were never going to win.
No.
Prestia was great again as well.
Six points is more than four.
That's it. Prestia's just been one of the stars. He's been the Dusty this year after he's come back from injury. He's been the steam train that's, you know, driving underneath the pack and getting the ball out to our other young players that can set up our forward line structure. Also, Jack's is going to resign, or has resigned today.
Close to it. Rewell?
Yeah. A couple of years, something like that.
Never
did that. Formality, yeah.
Absolute formality. Having one of his best seasons ever, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
His contested marks have been twice as good this year as they were the last decade.
Was it 2 weeks ago? It was against North? No, it wasn't. It was against somebody. I remember. You just go, no, he can't be beaten. He can't be beaten in the air. Yeah.
Might have been Essendon. Few weeks back. I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, it might have been that too, actually. But I haven't seen a better game from him than that one. Yeah.
Well, the last previous years, there wasn't so much taking the mark, it was contesting the mark. Yeah. But if you take him,
now
better.
He's taking him.
Even better.
Rioli's getting back into it too.
Yeah. It's just those, I don't know, those touches that he has, but he has them more and more often now. And so he's got this great feel for the game.
He's got the confidence too.
And that injury is obviously, like we were talking about last week with Prestia, they've got the luxury of rehabilitating people in the time they need as opposed to rushing them back. And you can see from Rioli and Prestia that that's obviously paying dividends and obviously a luxury that we can have.
It's the difference of having people try and force their way into the team as opposed to, okay, who have we got?
Yeah.
Which I know there's quite a few other clubs that are in that space.
Yeah, yeah. Minute.
But I think too, he's no longer just a Rioli that's on the list. He's Dizzy. Like he's got his own niche to fill.
Well, his uncle's retired, and he's now the oldest Rioli in the league. And I think
Willie, how much is between him and Willie?
I think he's got him covered by a year or so.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I have to check on that because I know Willie played in the Sandful for a bit too, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, it wasn't all bad from St Kilda. They were beaten by a better side by 10 goals, but it wasn't that unexpected. If that makes sense.
Well, yeah, it's one of those ones where look, they did what they could do.
Yeah. Which
and
is all they could do.
I think they were outclassed on and off the field. Yep. There was just, they went in there knowing they're going to get beat.
And they did.
And they did. And they didn't get humiliated. Like, I mean, it's a 10-goal beating, but it wasn't a...
It was to be expected.
Yeah, it wasn't an AFL versus a VFL side. It was an AFL versus a poor AFL side.
On to... Oh,
actually,
yep.
100,000 members too.
Yep. Cracked 100,000.
Yeah, so big one for the Tigers.
Someone's missing out on grand final tickets.
On to the MCG on Saturday with Collingwood and North. When Darcy Moore was announced as a late out, you would have thought Big Benny and Mad Jack were in for a day. It did not happen. I was watching some of this with Mum, who's a massive North Melbourne supporter, of course, and I even got her to admit Collingwood looked good.
Yeah.
It was more Collingwood were good, not North Melbourne were bad.
Well, they were, I'd say yes and no. North weren't hungry. Collingwood absolutely destroyed them in the tackles.
Yeah.
Which, if they've got more possession and more tackles, they win. Like you can do that in any game. If you get more possession, more tackles, you're probably going
to
win.
Yeah, it's usually indicative of a 6 to 8 goal win.
Yeah, or a complete hunger that North didn't have. The only person who I thought showed a bit of that was Ben Cunnington. He managed to get 4 fend-offs in one play, and he was the only guy that showed a bit of courage, really.
I mean, that's what you expect from him as well. Yeah. And I think the story with Collingwood, like we've said on previous podcasts, is that they were forced to play young kids through their injury woes, and those young kids are better off from that experience, and now they're the ones that are really stepping up. And it's not unlike the Tigers' rise to their premiership success.
They're having a new young lad step up every week.
Yeah, exactly. And you go through, obviously, we go through a little few little stats just to pick up, you know, who's done what during the games, and you come across names like, hang on.
Who's that?
Who's Sia?
He's got
9 tackles. That's fucking great for a rookie.
Mychek. He's come out of nowhere, and he's 25-year-old rookie.
He got what, 4 in the first quarter,
and that was strong marks. He took too. Yeah. Confident kicks. Degoey has continued on. He's such a damaging player because he goes forward. He's Dusty Martin in a couple of years' time.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's the way he's playing right now.
Kicks 4-1 and gets his own ball as well. Yeah. I mean, those are the players where you know you can plug holes no matter where you're going. You've got options throughout the game to adjust your strategy to sort of either stem the flow or really put it to the opposition and make them be on the back foot.
Our good mate Joffa put something on Facebook today or yesterday, and I shared it on our Facebook page as well.
Yep.
A couple of years ago, if I was in charge at Collingwood, I would have sacked Buckley.
Yep.
As it sits right now, after 18 rounds... if he's not runner-up for Coach of the Year, then he is Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
For what he's done with that team, the way they're playing with that injury list. It's almost like at the start of the year, they had 5 or 6 people who are now in the stands from their best 22.
Yeah.
They're no longer in their best 22 and they're still in the stands.
Yeah, they're in the stands for good now.
That's how it works.
I think, to be fair, the argument was never that Collingwood had a poor list. The argument was they're underachieving for the list they have. But at the moment, they're sitting third, fourth?
Third, yeah.
That's probably where the list is. Like, it legitimately would be the third best list in the league if everyone was best 22.
I wouldn't have said that. I would not have said that at the start of the year. But right now, because we didn't know that Stevenson was this good.
Yep.
Degoey's playing better than he's ever had. Side bottom's gotten better.
Yeah.
Howe's having a blinder down back.
Yep.
Crisp, even, down back is going well. I mean, it's just you keep rattling them off. Mason Cox is useful.
See, I wish North would start giving their own players rumours of contracts because every fucker we do it to seems to have blinders.
Yeah. And
it does work, doesn't it?
Since that, Degoey's come on leaps and bounds. So it's North's benefit. Good luck.
Yeah, excellent at spotting talent. Just really poor at landing them.
So I think the Collingwood, if there were any doubts about where they were going to be, then those have been obviously put to rest. But yeah, like you're saying, with the list, you look at it on paper and you'll be like, maybe it's all right. But the proof's in the pudding.
Yep.
And when it doesn't matter what you think about it from an objective point of view, from a subjective. But
don't worry about it on paper. Look at them on grass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They are attractive footy to watch.
Yeah.
But In fairness, though, we did say the same thing last couple of years about GWS, and they played a similar style with similar youth.
Yeah.
I tell you what, right this minute, they're looking good too.
Yeah.
They are.
We'll get to that.
They, you know, should have played in the grand final a couple of years back, but didn't have the experience.
Last two.
Yeah, I think Collingwood, they're in the same sort of boat. Like, they've lost a bit of experience. They've got that excitement machine talent, but they don't quite have the experience on ground to handle the pressure situation.
They're playing finals.
Yeah.
And one thing that Collingwood does is they know how to play in front of 90,000.
Exactly, yeah, right. With plenty of experience in one this weekend.
They do it 4 or 5 times a year.
And like we've just said, you've got teams like Collingwood up and running. Doesn't matter what players on the pitch, they're doing great. GWS, up and running. Lots of people who are doing their part. Even Melbourne, I mean, obviously didn't get the win, but up and running. So who did North throw money at? Someone from Port Adelaide who are going backwards in a hurry.
In fairness, that did come from McClure, so I'm not convinced on it.
Yeah, but it's funnier this way.
But it was one of those ones where they go, Polek, and everyone's gone, who?
You said what?
I'm like, hang on.
Be a racist? He just, Jesus Christ.
He just went to SA to go home.
Yeah, do you reckon Polek...
from Brisbane.
Do you reckon Polek read that and went, fucking yes! You beauty! He hasn't even asked his manager. He's like, well, I'm playing better now, aren't I?
I'm in the career best form right now.
Level up. All right. It was just a bad day for the Roos. You just put that out of your mind and don't worry about it for next week.
Yep.
I mean, in terms of positives, Mad Jack Dore had another really good game, I thought.
Yeah, he's
kicked 3. If he's not the most improved player, I don't know who is. Just he's gone from being probably should have been dropped 4 seasons back.
He should have been cut. And I think Brad Scott even said we kept him on our list too long. If we didn't have that contract, he wouldn't be there this year.
Mm.
And I think it's very hard to argue against that.
I'm pretty sure last year we said he should go back and play defence. You know, you can go to the tapes. I'm not going to, but no, I'm
we
sure.
We said he should go back, but it wasn't to defence. It was VFL or Waffle or Sample. But anyway, yeah, most improved by a country mile. On to the upset of the year, I'm going to say.
Looking that way, yeah.
Yeah, like if you tip this, the fix is in.
What about 6-4 to 1-5 at quarter time?
Yep.
And the Swans kicked 2-12 from there on.
Yeah, I mean,
was that 8 on the trot after that, from the second to the third?
Yeah.
8 on the trot for GWS.
Goalless half of footy in the second and third term.
Yeah.
I was watching the game, and it wasn't a flood. It wasn't. There was no discernible change in the game.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, oh, we got this goal. It was one goal at a time. And they just kept kicking them.
But it didn't matter. Even through that onslaught for the second and third quarters, you're still like, all right, when's Sydney going to turn on and just put this game away? And it just didn't happen.
Well, look, I know it's a bit simple to say it, but it looked like Sydney thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Do you think Sydney have to tank from here to avoid getting a home final?
Well, that's the way it's looking like. I mean, the sad thing is they're sitting in fourth and they're playing shocking footy.
Yeah. Also, Alirelia just re-signed again for 2 years, I believe, today or yesterday.
Might have been three.
Three? So, yeah, North Melbourne unlucky. Can't get their hands on him.
But, you know, it is great for Gold Coast because, one, they did it without Lynch because it looks almost certain that he's gone.
Yeah.
Well, let's be honest, he's gone. He is not going to set foot in that club again.
Well, it's like he came to Melbourne and, you know, I don't know, it's like he had Tinder dates lined up for the holidays, date with everyone on every meal.
At the airport with Neil Baum, then Buckley went on and said, yeah, we've had chats with him, which I love the openness of it because it's fucking obvious anyway.
Yeah.
And then they asked Jared Ruffhead about it today. And he goes, I don't know. They don't tell me nothing. And I 100% believe it.
They learned from the Talia thing.
Yeah. My personal feeling is that he's going to be at Collingwood. And that makes Collingwood, if he was there right now, they're a massive premiership chance. It's a great addition for him. But anyway, it was good that they got the win without him. And Stevie May was there front and centre.
Yeah.
And said it's the best win of the club's history.
Well, just on that note real quick, are they going to introduce mid-season trades next year?
Doubt it.
I hope not.
Because that would really mix it up. Although you would find that the cash grab for finals would be really...
Exactly. Yeah, I don't like it.
Fuck it up for the following season.
It creates another avenue for tanking.
Yeah.
And that's how it gets used in American sports
a
lot of times as well. I don't like it. You've got a 40-man roster for a reason.
Yeah.
Use it.
With the old mate May, he did have a good line about this. Because apparently at the start of the game, you know, they're all getting out of position and he said, g'day to Buddy, and, you know, shakes his hand. He said, Buddy doesn't normally shake my hand, but he did this time. And then Mays walked off. And who was it that was it Thompson that stood Buddy?
Yep.
And Thompson walks over to Buddy and Buddy's turned back to Mays like, are you serious? You're letting him stand me. It's just him. Mate, what are you fucking doing? And he got legitimately angry.
Hey, let's have a look at the score sheet. Buddy's got a big donut next to his name.
That comes down to a psych out on the stats sheet.
Yeah. It reminds you of the old stories of Larry Bird, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He'd have a 6'10" African-American bloke standing in front of him, and he's like, who's cutting me? Yeah. Who's cutting me?
Is it? Someone tell me?
You leaving me open, coach?
Aaron Young. He's come across from Port Adelaide. I think this is his second year.
Yep.
He was always a bit of a goal sneak at Port Adelaide, but couldn't string it together.
It was a team of goal sneaks, though. So
yeah. He was a bit of an out-the-back player. Like he'd be behind the contest, and if the ball went over, he'd be the sneaky one.
He was Johnny on the spot. Johnny on the spot a lot of the times. Mm. Kick 4 goals in this one by being Johnny on the spot.
Yep.
And it's the kind of effort that you hope to get from him once or twice a year, but it's got them their first ever win over the Swans.
This is SCG as well, wasn't it?
It was. So the Swans have lost 5 games at home this year.
Wow.
5.
Yeah, yeah. The inverse Richmond.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So no wonder they're trying to tank. They want to play Richmond at the at the MCG.
To see which one's voodoo's stronger.
Yeah. That's Ali v. Frazier, that one, isn't it? The only shame about this one was I couldn't enjoy it as much as I'd like to, the show on fraud, because we were yet to play Carlton.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure on that game at all. But no, it's a big win. It's really good for the Gold Coast Suns fans. What I do love about games like this is when the final siren went, silence.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's part of me that loves that.
I would have loved to enjoy the Shaden Freud here too, but I was still too pissed.
Yeah.
All right, on to Essendon and Frio. Did it feel in doubt?
No, I don't think.
I mean, it was close all day until right at the end.
I'm not tipping Freo for the rest of the season.
Well, it wasn't in doubt, but it was just that feeling of, it's almost like when you see really long odds and you're like, oh, you know, maybe it's a chance there, because Frio's current form of, you know, one or two games, they've done something. But you never really seriously thought that they were going
to
get there.
I think if they were offering 15 to 1 odds, you'd go there and go, oh, put a tenner on it. And then you'd be like, oh, maybe I'll make that a 2.
Yeah.
But even at halftime, 4 goals, 11 to 7-1, it still felt, okay, 3-hour up, but yeah, Essendon are going to do this, aren't they?
It's just a matter of time before they turn that around.
Second goal of the week nominee from Myers. Just slaps it on the boot, massive floater. Mm. And as soon as you kicked, you go, nah, this is going in.
Yeah.
And even he didn't believe it. No. I love it.
Do you think all this talk about the state of the game, one of the problems is Ross Lyon?
I've said that for years.
Yeah, he's a problem with a lot of things, actually.
I'm not a fan.
He plays negating football that's boring to watch, which if it works, is fine. But when you're losing playing negative football, what the fuck are you doing,
actually,
mate?
Actually, you're right on that, because in the last play of the game, you know, Bombers are up by three or four goals, and there's a minute 20 left, and they're playing a loose man in defence.
Yeah.
It's a fucking point.
Exactly. It's
you're not playing finals. You may as well try and get another goal or something.
Yeah. Well, and all it turned out was Devon Smith took mark of the week.
Yeah.
So I'm glad on that side. I just thought, you know, try and
do
win.
Do something, yeah.
Try and kick
a loose man in attack.
If you're not going to play finals, so percentage is out, and you're trying to lose by less, you're a shit coach.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Like if you're around the 8th, 9th mark, and percentage is going to be important, that's different. You know, you're playing the long game. But what's he playing for? He's playing for pride, and then he's decided, no, we're going to staunch the bleeding. Fuck off.
I think he's playing for a paycheck, and that's about it at the moment, because once his contract up, there's no way he's going to get a job as a coach.
Once the contract's up, he's getting sued.
He's got a long-ass contract. I think he's got another 2 seasons, even.
Jeez.
So we'll see. All right, on to the Lions and the Crows. Great game. And you'd hope that the Lions would put up another show. Shame for them, they couldn't go on with it. But
you're willing the Lions across the line.
How good are they going, though?
Yeah. When it comes to the Rising Star, it's a two-horse race between Doudet and Stevens for Collingwood. But you get the feeling that Cam Rayner is going to be the pick of that draft, or the pick of the bunch.
Oh, look, if sports better taking odds on him getting a Brownlow within the next decade, I'm on it.
Jeez, he looks dangerous. Once he gets another season or two under him, god damn it.
But he looks everything.
Got everything.
They've compared him to Voss, and I think that's the most accurate, except I'd say he's a bit lighter and faster.
No, he's more of a marking player than Voss, I think. I don't know. He's more. You try and think more of a goal king like Parker, or
I'd say Voss was a good mark, but not many of them were too high in the air.
Yeah,
no, he was like that engine that just fucking goes for anything.
Yeah,
puts it on the outside to.
He's a goal kicking mid when he wants to be.
Yeah, and Alex Witherden picking up 31 possessions. Brisbane, they've never really. I mean, in my opinion, I think they've always had a relatively strong midfield team. It's just a matter of injuries and getting the ball into the forward line and figuring out what they're going to do there.
And belief.
Hanging on to them as well.
Yeah, yeah. But he's one who's managed to find his own footy, and one that can sort of replace a lot of the injury-prone midfielders that they've got or they've had in the past.
But how exciting are they playing at the moment? Like, they're worth watching.
It's great. Yeah, it's really exciting footy. And I think with a lot of young kids in a team, that little bit of confidence goes a lot way further. It's a lot more noticeable in how they play, as opposed to someone who's a bit more seasoned and they already have that innate confidence. There's not really that questioning. Whereas young team, there probably is those questions, especially where you're not used to that sort of pressure, whether it be from media or even, you know, the higher ups on the board or other teammates. You know, breathing down your neck. And I feel like that they've got that little bit of belief. And sometimes you just play above what maybe your intended skill level is.
Well, I think, too, that they're a young side and they're a light side. Like, there's no real mature bodies yet. So you get to Hipwood. Give him another 2 pre-seasons when he puts on some mass. He's going
to
be a monster.
I'm not sure Hipwood's got that in him, to be honest. I just don't think he does. But they have... They've got some bigger bodies coming. Like, Rayner's going to be an absolute mountain.
Yeah.
McCluggage is there. Harris Andrews, once he comes back. I think he might be a week or two away. He's getting back close. Hugh Greenwood, a bit like Aaron Young. We were saying Johnny on the spot a few times, but he's had 7 scoring shots and probably the difference in the game at the end. So he's an absolute blinder. On the other end, though, I thought Hipwood was kept very, very quiet. which shows a strong back line.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Managed to take a goal, but yeah, got bugger all the footy. Also, Mitch Robertson doing an AMA on
Reddit.
On Reddit. Yeah.
He's done it before.
He's tempting fate.
I think, again, let's just say on the media, this entire podcast, someone managed to turn a story out of it.
Did
in
they?
The mainstream. Yeah, can't remember which one it was. Cause
probably JB.
I don't know. To be honest, when I went through the AMA, I just immediately went, select controversial. First one. So which cut are you going to whack next? Didn't answer that one. I was hoping someone would bring up pingers at a festival and punching blokes. But, yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Young Matty Crouch, though. He, you talk about your darkies for the Brownlow. He's got to be in the conversation.
Hasn't played enough games. He's in for it too much. And
you only need 10.
Rory Laird will get more votes than him at the Crows.
Yeah, I think Rory Laird's probably there. Not best on ground there.
He'll be their highest vote.
Most valuable.
Yeah.
Halfway mark, he might actually be leading the Brownlow, I reckon. But he set out 4 weeks, I think, as well.
I think it was a very Tom Mitchell-esque performance by Matty Crouch.
I tell you what, the ball. Adelaide's Scott Thompson retired last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Last year.
Last year, I think. Carbon copy.
Yeah.
It's just that same frame.
I think he's faster.
I can say if he was a yard faster, he'd be Dangerfield.
But
he's good on both sides of the body as well, and exceptionally well balanced. So you tackle him, you've got to really make it stick. Otherwise, he's just going to shake it off.
On the Brisbane side, though, like if Brisbane won more games, Beams would be in the conversation for Brownlow too, I reckon.
Oh, maybe.
He's been brilliantly consistent in a team that's been woefully inconsistent a lot of the time. He's finally managed to get people around him that can find the footy and not shit themselves.
You know, I don't know if Brisbane's been inconsistent this year. I think they've only had like one or two bad games. Other games they've been outclassed, for sure. Yeah. But they've actually put some good footy together.
I disagree I think what they've done is just shit themselves a lot of the time because they've got a lot of young lads who don't have confidence. But all of a sudden you get a couple of games in a row where you're like, we almost had that. And you're thinking, I reckon we can get this. I reckon we're on now. And then you get two wins and then you get third and you're like, yeah, right. On our day, we can match anyone.
I'm pretty sure, again, on Reddit, I saw a stat that there's only been maybe two or three teams that have had as many wins or losses as Brisbane this season, but had a higher percentage. And so, obviously, that means that they're not really going into blowouts. They're having strong performances, obviously, probably better than what they should be. But yeah, it's not really a demolition and complete disgrace.
You show me a good team from the mid-'80s, early 90s. I reckon Brisbane would match them. Easy.
I'd hope so. That'd put all this bullshit media state of the game shit to rest.
I wish we had a time machine to do that because it would be a slaughter.
Yeah.
It would be a waste of a time machine, though. I got a feeling.
The time machine is the media. That's all we're getting.
On to clearly match of the round, which was Melbourne versus Geelong. This is all over at three quarter time.
Oh, no, it wasn't. It kept on going in the stands.
Oh, dickheads. How has it been that this year we've had about five or six fights in the stands? And mobile phones have been around for a little bit longer, but it just seems this year everyone's been really quick on filming it.
I blame Trump.
Why not?
Yeah.
I've still never seen anything at the footy, and I've been to a lot of games. But
I've been in a lot of heated games too, where there's, bit of not their hostilities, but there's never got to a point where it's going to be aggressive.
No, there's aggressive banter where you insult people, but not.
But it's usually generally funny.
You're trying to be funny.
Yeah.
You're not trying to start a fight because who gives a shit? Like, you get a bunch of people that are wearing the same team Guernsey as you, win or lose or whatever. It's nothing to do with you. You didn't help that.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're skiding off against some bloke, it's like, mate, you were sitting on the concrete next to me. Yeah. You've done fuck all.
But if you can make everyone around you laugh, you're a fucking legend.
Exactly. Run with that. Like, add 100%. To the game. Have banter.
That's if you punch someone, you don't get to watch the footy anymore. So,
I do like that Gil came out and said, segregation not happening.
No.
Because that would just destroy the footy for me.
No. But I feel like this is great to see Melbourne get lose this one in this fashion.
Okay, why is that?
Well, because it's always so talking about banter in the stands. Melbourne are one of the easiest people group of supporters to be able to pick on.
They've been sledging themselves for quite a while.
Yes, exactly. So, you don't ever feel bad about sledging the Melbourne fan base. So easy pickings, never guilty pickings when it comes to Melbourne.
Have they taken that from Richmond, that mantle? You feel in the last 2 years?
Ooh. Yeah. I don't think they microwave. I think they flambé their memberships, as we've seen with that guy burning his earlier.
Well, that's twice this year, though, that they've
screwed the pooch
against Geelong. They've lost a couple of other close ones, which I can't recall right off the top of my head. But obviously, their big Maxi miss one wasn't after the siren, but it was near the end of the it was like 10 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
And obviously, Tui slotted this one. Susie, beautiful ball movement down the middle. And as soon as he got it, you go, no, there's no chance this is missing.
Yeah.
What I love too is looking at the scoreworm, it actually looks like Melbourne won just because there's such a tiny sliver of green to go back up into right the Geelong thing, obviously being after the siren.
It's very easy to pick best on ground in this one. Big Tomahawk was absolutely dominant.
Yeah.
Especially when they had that quick flurry of goals in the fourth.
Well, that was exactly where he proved his worth. And, I mean, he's not been reliable pretty much all season, but this is one where he's stepped up in the crunch, and obviously it makes it easier when you've got that midfield getting first use of it and putting it in there so quick, so you've got the space and also you're getting a step ahead of your opponents. You're not getting a two-on-one situation.
But to be fair, this is against one of the ruckmen that's in the All-Australian conversation. So for them to get delivery to him like they did just speaks volumes about their mids.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you've got to keep him straight.
Yep.
Tom hasn't always done that. In this game, he did.
Who was the stupid fucker earlier who was saying Ablett should retire?
Carey.
Yeah, mate.
Fucking media sucks balls, doesn't he?
Well, he's not in Brownlow medal form, but that's not his role now.
Yeah. See, the thing is, he's not at his best. His best is behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he's still one of the best.
Yeah. I mean, you don't sack him because he's the 10th best player in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clearly. But anyway.
And he's just got a baby boy in the way, so you don't really piss him off too much.
Well, I don't know if it's a boy yet. They haven't.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I got that opinion. Not opinion. Impression.
I'm completely just going on photos that I saw. And
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I did assume it was a boy.
I'm guessing it's going to be Gary.
Well, you're almost obliged, aren't you?
Pretty much.
You got to keep it going. Anyway. It was a great final quarter. It looked like Melbourne were going to do it too because Geelong drew even early and Melbourne fought back and then fought back.
Yeah,
just it's that one opportunity they just missed and they missed it several times right at the end. So what were they kicking the final quarter? Bloody 5 points or something like that.
Yeah.
Yep, 5 points.
Much, yep.
So they kicked 3 goals, eight straight.
Yep, which is insane.
Insane.
From a defensive standpoint, you'd have to be given that back four or five people a huge spray and a huge workout because, I mean, you couldn't have foreseen that Tom was going to do that in the fourth.
No.
But you would say, hey, let's just make sure. Maybe chuck another guy down there, get in his way. You know, just in case we don't get first use of it, just in case they manage to shark Maxi, let's have a plan B. Or, you know, maybe just kick a few goals ourselves, but no.
Too much reliance on Big Maxi.
Yeah.
But I think this is the sort of situation they hired Lewis for. He's supposed to lead that back line. I don't think he did.
Close games, Hawthorn versus Geelong. Not a good track record there, you know?
Fair call.
So
it's just rock, paper, scissors sort of thing.
I think he'd take that, yeah. He'd back himself for that chance. But anyway, it makes for a good story. And like I said at the top, I love that the Geelong won with a kick after the siren and still went down on the ladder.
Yeah.
That's a great result for me.
Yeah.
On to the Sunday game, Hawthorn versus Carlton. Whatever.
Record-setting game, this one.
Yeah.
Carlton cracked the ton. 100 games without scoring 100 points.
Yeah.
In a row.
Yeah.
That's fucking hideous.
It is. And not surprising.
No.
No.
And if not for a quick flurry in the third quarter when everyone went to sleep, this could have got even worse. The only real talking points coming out of the game was Daniel Howe, who's copped 5-game suspension this afternoon.
Did he?
Yeah. He copped 2 for a punch to the face and 3 for a trip. It's a little bit funny because he's not an aggressive player by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But isn't that weird, though? You get 3 for a trip and 2 for a punch in the face. I would have thought a punch in the face is kind of what we're trying to get out of the game a bit more.
Like I say, if you went the other way around and said, mate, you punched him in the face. Yeah. I don't care how hard it was. You punch him in the face. That's 3. And the trip, he's unlucky because he fucking did it.
Yeah.
But it's one of those instinctive things.
Yeah.
He just happened to have broken his leg when he did it.
Yeah. Which I mean,
For Zach Fisher. Which ends Zach Fisher's season, you know, who's done nothing wrong here, of course.
But I hate this inconsistency about are we paying the result or are we paying the action?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mind which it is. as long as it's consistent, because we're not.
We said that last week too. But the arguments that came up at the tribunal was, well, if you've broken a leg, it has to be severe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, there is more severe things, but it's
yeah,
it's a good argument if you when you're grading. Yeah. But I think he's a bit unlucky, but he fucking did it. You know, it's one of those things. It's unlucky, but you can't argue against it, really.
No.
So he sits out for 5 weeks, which is what Jeremy Cameron got for knocking Harris Andrews' head off.
Pretty much the macho man flying away from the top rope.
That's the way it goes. Besides that, Luke Bruce kicked another 5. He's still going strong for his 50/100 season. 50 goals, 100 tackles. Yep. That's the only interest I had in this game.
Well, he's coming third in the Coleman, so he's moved along quite a bit. He's one behind Buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's not his best season either for goal kicking, but no, he's doing his job. You'd have to say Tommy Mitchell had a day out, but it's a training run.
Really, yeah, yep.
He was given a wide berth. Actually, I think Zach Fisher was his tagger at one stage, so Daniel Howell's done his job. He's whacked the bloke he's tagging and knocked out the bloke that's tagging the best midfielder.
I think Carlton at this point, maybe just try your own strategy. Don't worry about tagging, just, you know, see what you've got, what cattle you've got to work with.
Pretty much what they did. What I did like about the game was when Carlton kicked their second goal, there was still a lot of their fans there cheering for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they know what they're in for when they go to the footy each week, and they're still there, and they're still cheering.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's something at least.
And fair play to them, because look, if you're a Carlton supporter, you know success will come eventually, because they're not going anywhere.
Well,
no.
Whereas if you're a Saints supporter, you think, I might die without seeing them win a flag.
I can say, not since the salary cap's come in. They've struggled since then. Or policing of the salary cap, I should say.
They've still got busy.
Yeah. Sure, you kicked a nice goal too. Anyway, Bulldogs, West Coast Eagles, not much to say really. The Bulldogs got on the board quickly, but West Coast Eagles too strong, too long.
Yeah, and
they didn't even look that strong, to be honest. Nah, they just looked like...
They did enough.
It looked like both teams were running at about 75%, but the Eagles, 75% was a lot better.
Yeah, of course it was.
Yeah, but it was Gaff just put on another display. Yeah. And is he...
He's the only one. No, he's the only one unsigned. McGovern signed.
Yeah, McGovern signed for a big contract.
I don't think's right. I think they've fucked that up because he was the one player not linked with North.
Yeah, he hadn't offered him anything yet.
Yeah, so for him to
sack
sign,
your manager, if you don't throw that out in the media, North offered me $6 million over 3 years.
It's put West Coast into a bit of a bind now because Scott Lysette is a free agent. And he was like, whatever, Scott Lysette. But now Nick Natanui's gone for all of next year. They're gone. We fucking need you, champ. But
and there's not much else on the market to you know.
They're going away quick.
The stocks,
yeah.
And in a weird spin, St Kilda have come out as the number one gaff suitor. So I don't know. Maybe North have just let someone else have a turn being in the news.
I think Saints were just sick of being fourth, so they thought they put their hand up first. Doesn't mean they're the number one suitor. They're just the first suitor.
They're like, it's $700 a year plus a Monopoly get out of jail free card plus 6-pack cruises. What else we got around here?
It's like first bid at an auction. You're like, well, I've got a chance. But
a 1976 Toyota Camry.
But I've thrown a name in the hat.
They're still looking all right, Eagles. I believe they can still go all the way even without Nick Nat.
Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I'm unconvinced. But look, it's a wide open season.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Finally, the Giants versus Port Adelaide. Again, another game I loved listening to because the silence was deafening.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing better than a
subdued,
mildly pissed off Port Adelaide crowd.
Yep.
I'm
all for it.
Yeah,
I love it.
God bless any team that puts them to
I love
to
nothing more than ruining other people's happiness.
Yeah, yeah, especially if it's an Adelaide team. Mm. Not that I got anything against them, it's just really fun because it's so serious, but so toothless.
Literally.
Like, do you ever hear about fights at the footy in Adelaide? You don't really...
There's tons. It just doesn't make news here.
That's usually on the bridge across the casino.
Yeah, there was one or two this year. Remember in the bloody, in the expensive rooms. Or something. Yeah, at the start of the year.
Was that Adelaide though, not Port?
It could have been, but it was in Adelaide.
I mean, I know the cricket, you get a bit of a barney going on, but you're just against security.
It's because you got longer to drink.
Yeah, this is true. And it's more students there, because they price students out of their memberships in Adelaide.
And Clarko snorted a bloke once.
He deserved it too.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
Well, I mean, you could have like the battle on the bridge. It'll be like a Mortal Kombat stage where you're coming from both sides and they've got a little bar underneath where you could watch from.
Only problem is you say finish him and one will drop to their knees and try and jerk him off. True to form too, Polek managed to get the most possessions for Port Adelaide. So, fucking
Line
our,
them up.
Our talent scouts have nothing fucking wrong with them at all.
Your talent scouts must be looking at the guys, the list managers. Mike, just fucking get somebody to sign. We pick them. Although, having said that, it's easy to stand at the nightclub and point out the chick with the big tits.
This is true. And I look at this more like polite going, fuck, I'm sorry, guys. All right, I want to stay. I'm sorry.
Do you remember a few years ago, Dave Hughes used to do the... what do you call it? The roasting of all the teams.
Yeah, yep.
I remember his Port Adelaide one was the best.
Yeah, right.
He goes, look at you, Jared Pollack, you know, sitting next to Michael Voss. You were no good up in Brisbane, now you're good down here. If you're good up in Brisbane, he'd still be coach. Sitting next to him. I like it. I still remember that from years ago.
Pretty true, too.
And then he made a joke about them losing the prelim final against Hawthorn, and ooh, they did not laugh at all. Loved it
perfect.
Even more.
Sometimes those jokes are the best. That's playing the long game. You don't get the immediate laugh back, but you know when everyone sees that, it's going to be a winner.
But I remember Chris Rock used to do those all the time. He did a great one where he's like, about Bill Clinton's blowjob. And he's like, half of that was Hillary's fault. And it said to Craig, ooh, and he's like, I said it. It needs to be said. I got to say it. And just went on with, you know, she should have been down there playing with his balls. So, you know, Chris Rock when he was funny. He was great.
Yeah.
That was a while back.
So the Giants are back in town now, too. They're looking dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think they've still got a few players to come back.
They're back to exciting football, though.
Yep.
He sure got 20 kicks. I did not notice that.
Yeah, he's not into handballing.
Damn. This is true.
Yeah, sure. His kicks aren't what they used to be, but they're still, you know, they're still pretty handy at times.
Lidzie game back as well. Not great, I'm going to be honest. I think he's...
First game back.
Yeah, but I think he's going to, I don't know. Where did he go? He's got no finals experience, so what's he going to do? How do you put him in?
Oh, did he win a final?
Who?
I don't know. Lids. Last couple of years, I don't know if he played in...
Definitely didn't play last year. Did he play against Tigers in the...
I've got a feeling he did, but I'd have to... I can't remember. All right, I'll have to check it up later on. All right, on to round 19. Essendon are hosting the Sydney Swans at Etihad Stadium. McKernan, season's finished, which is heartbreaking, to be honest.
I don't like that. I love the underdog story. He was a guy that was almost good enough to be best 22 for so long.
A journeyman.
Yeah. He was making up numbers, really. He was a Dutch boy with his finger in the dike.
Yep.
And by that I mean obviously the dam. Yeah,
keep going.
But anyway, career best form by far. He's had more highlights this year than he has had since he was 3 years old, I reckon.
Yep. Yeah.
That includes his fifth-year-old birthday and when his brother won a flag. But, missing out on that, to me, robs this game of something massive.
It looks like Stringer might be back, so at least they get another forward.
Well, there's a negative.
Yeah, speaking of sticking your finger in a...
a little Dutch boy.
Essendon, I think, might actually get this one. Sydney.
Chance.
Away from home.
But it's away from home, Sydney, though.
But they got rolled at... Tigers rolled them at Etihad, didn't they?
Yes.
Long ago. So, yeah, I feel like they're... Yeah, I think Sydney might be really on the slide. So Essendon might just put one over them.
I mean, they lost the fucking Gold Coast. Yeah. I mean, where does that put them? They can't play that badly 2 weeks in a row.
I think Essendon need to win. They have to win to make finals if they plan on it at all. But if they've done the math and think, fuck, we can't do it, they might tank this one.
I'd love to see him just knock the Crows out of the finals. That would be kind of hilarious.
Danaher's still a couple of weeks away, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if they've just pulled the pin on him.
With that much time out, surely he's got to come back through the twos.
I don't know.
I mean, he's a talent, but I think you learn from the Nick Nat situation. Like, if you bring a bloke like him back too soon, you lose him for the next season as well.
They didn't bring Nick Nat back too soon. Nah, he set out an entire year. A year and a summer. So I don't know how long you wanted him to sit out for.
Well, he should have worked on the other leg.
Until he
rehabbed that one.
Until he signs that contract for North. You'll lower the price down.
No, we got Ruckman. We got them out of rounds.
Yeah, you just don't play him.
Yeah, I think
that's you put him in the two.
I think Essendon are a chance as well. But yeah, it's a tough game to pick.
Essendon are the short odds team, so I'm on Sydney.
Sydney away from home is a good team this year.
Exactly. And Buddy's due for a day out, and without Hibbard.
I think Hooker usually plays on him. Hibbard's more of a small forward.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact,
I think they normally double up.
There are plenty of highlights of Hooker on Buddy.
Yeah.
Not good for Hooker.
Exactly. So I reckon Buddy's on. I reckon he'll kick a decent 5 or 6.
I thought that was my fucking line.
Yeah, no, I'll beat you.
Match of the round by far. There's going to be 90,000 at a wet MCG.
Yep.
Richmond v Collingwood.
We tried to get tickets and then went, I don't like those tickets.
This is one of those games where they're paying extra.
Yeah.
Because it's not for AFL members. It's not the $9 for a reserve seat. It's 20 or something.
30, I think it was.
Something like that.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
I'm not paying $30 to sit up in nosebleeds.
No.
Well, okay, so no Collingwood supporters are going to be there. suddenly it sounds all right.
Yeah, and I mean, this is going to be obviously match of the round, but on a wet track, it's a shame because we rob ourselves of two young teams that play exciting footy and fast football. So let's hope the Bureau of Meteorology can be as shit as usual and got it all wrong.
I think wet track plays into Richmond's hands as well.
Yeah, I think it does too.
Besides the style of footy they play, it also means like Mason Cox is a unique weapon.
Yep.
Not in the wet.
Well, especially since he's now been sticking marks and kicking decently from 30 to 40 metres. Doesn't matter to a person or
you can do it
or
for 50.
Out. Yeah, actually true. Yeah, he's extended a little bit. But yeah, I would see that the small mosquito fleet of Richmond, they thrive in that wet weather. And we've got enough people we can rotate through not only the bench, but through all the other positions on the field to keep people a bit more fresh than probably what Collingwood can.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, see, I think this suits Richmond too. Solely because if it's dry and Cox is grabbing marks, no one can stop him.
Yep.
He's just too big. And Richmond don't have that tall backman either. They rely on their small speed. Speaking of, Bashahuli, any news on him?
One more.
Probably one more. That's another thing, like we're saying. He's probably good to go, but why take the risk?
Yeah. Take one more than you need. Geelong and the Lions?
We're all on Tigers, yeah?
Oh, yeah, we're all on Tigers. Geelong and the Lions, I mean, you'd think Geelong.
Yeah, I don't think this is a lockdown, though, because I think Geelong, they played their ass off to win the game last week, and those wins do take something out of you because you've played just on empty.
Yeah.
And then I look at the Lions and I think, I wouldn't bet the house on them.
Yeah.
you do a bit. But they've got the pace to worry Geelong. Geelong aren't a fast side, but they're a quality possession side.
I think Geelong will get there.
I think they will, but I think Lions will make it interesting for three quarters.
Narkle's probably due for a nod for the Rising Star as well. He's putting together a good couple of weeks. Giants and the Saints in Sydney, that'll be easy, I think. We can skip over that.
Yeah.
Well, in the past few weeks, we've had major upsets. I don't see this as one. St Kilda won't win another game.
You're right. The Spoon Bowl, although Carlton need to win, I think, four more games to get out of the Spoon Bowl. So they've got the Spoon, but 17th versus 18th. I don't think Carlton are going to...
You've got the Suns coming off their best win ever.
Yeah.
Yep.
Versus Carlton, who are at their worst streak in history.
Well, I don't know if... Can Gold Coast have a fourth win hangover? Is that possible?
I mean, they're from the Gold Coast. Hangovers are standard, I thought.
I mean, for them, playing at home is almost playing away because they haven't played a whole lot there this season, so...
Carlton are just terrible. So
I've got no pick. I'm going to draw.
This is one of the times where the Suns have to make sure that the other team gets back on the plane and fucks off.
Crows and Melbourne, Adelaide Oval, Saturday night, which will be the game I think I'll be watching.
Oh, yep, definitely.
So I don't mind this. I think this has got a bit of interest for everyone.
Great game. Jacobs versus Gorn.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And Jacobs got back into some nice form. They play a bit of a different style of ruck, but both can tear a game apart if they're on.
I mean, obviously I'm going for Melbourne because as much as I love to see Melbourne supporters depressed, I love to see Adelaide supporters more depressed.
Melbourne need to show some backbone as well.
They do.
I think last time they lost a heartbreaker, they came out and fired. So hopefully they can do it because you want to see them play finals, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think they've suffered enough.
Yep.
Doty might be back as well with a bit of luck.
Didn't he play last week?
I think he got a concussion.
Oh, right.
So he'll be back in.
So he might not know what he's doing. He might have only played last week. I'm back.
All right. North are hosting the Eagles down in Hobart. They're not without their chances because it's in Hobart.
Yeah, and I think we beat the Eagles season before last in Hobart when it was blowing a gale, and it's one of those ones where it's a definite advantage having played there.
It's unique.
Often enough.
Yeah.
Particularly now that West Coast never play in an open arena.
No. We've got the big bowl at home, obviously.
Yeah. That's my line. I'm sticking to it with my optimism.
I feel like your line was blowing a gay down in Tasmania. But anyway,
that, they do frown on that.
It's legal there. Yeah. They're all for it.
No, I think the Eagles, I think they might have too much in the middle and too much up forward. It's going to be good down back with, you know, maybe McGovern on Dore. Or do you put Dore on Darling?
No, I put Dore back because Mason Wood will be back in.
Oh, you think he's back in?
Yeah, yeah. And he'll have to take that second forward option.
Dore on Darling then is not a bad matchup.
No, yeah. I think it's great. Also, it'll be interesting to see how Zeeble goes because he's normally a pretty courageous player, I think, but he was not in the game last week and he would have been hard on himself, but you know, yeah. Brad Scott would have got would in his have. Face a bit too.
I reckon he spends too much time up forward. I know he can kick goals, but you need a big body in the midfield.
Yeah. That's not his call though. If the coach says you're forward and then you stay there, that's kind of the coach's call.
Of course it is. Yeah,
but,
that's what I'm saying.
He wants to be in the midfield, but he doesn't have the pace. Yeah. But like you said, you're right in that when the game is tight and you're getting murdered, like your players are getting belted, you need a bloke like that.
Just get your hands on the ball.
And just stick up, like be a strong player and start knocking people on their ass. Cunnington was doing it all fucking match, but he had no support. But anyway, I'm on North just because I'm woefully optimistic.
Maybe I'll just go with the Eagles just to play it safe. I'd love to see the North get up there.
Yeah, I need a few roughies to get up to get back in the office tipping, but yeah. I don't know if this is rough enough. If it was anywhere but Hobart, we wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway. Yeah. Bulldogs are taking Port Adelaide to Ballarat.
Yeah.
I want to find a reason to tip the Bulldogs because, like you, I need a couple of roughies to get up, but this ain't happening. I'm on Port.
And Port have had a shocking couple of weeks. They need to bounce back, and you know they've got a tough run home after this. This is one they need to bank, and I think they can. It's not an easy pick.
I just think not being able to have Friday night Ramsgate drinks will help them a lot.
Yeah, I'm going on Port.
The good thing is Western Bulldogs don't have a recognised ruckman really.
Yeah,
and neither do Port Adelaide with the minute with Paddy Ryder out.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll be back.
Yeah,
And finally, Frio host Hawthorn over in the West. Burgoyne should be back, and I think that makes a little bit of a difference.
That's a 4-goal difference.
There you are, the Burgoynes, as Josh likes to call Hawthorn. Yeah, I'm on Hawks. I think they'll get across the line.
Haven't played some pretty footy lately, and snuck into the eight, but I don't expect
someone
them
has
to stay
win this game, though.
Yeah, let's be honest, if you're talking about not pretty footy, Free, I've got it.
They wrote the book on it.
They are the ugliest team players. Without Fife, and to an extent Sandilands, they're not worth watching. Fife is the highlight machine there.
Yep.
Maybe Hill?
The Hills, when they're up and running.
Yeah,
yeah, but they need quiet. They're outside. They need Fife in there, getting the ball to them, and then Fife running forward at 3,000 miles an hour and taking screams on people's heads. But as it is, if you wanted to watch Frio play anyone, you're going for the other side because you want to see a game of footy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to see people fucking about.
So are you going to go, if you're watching this game, and I imagine you won't, but if you were, would you be going for Hawthorn then?
Yeah, I'd have to.
All right.
Fuck Fremantle.
I think that'll do us for round 19 preview.
Yep.
Yeah, good luck. Peace.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.